Hi, we're Steve and Cindy Wright with Marriage Missions International. We've been emailing out a weekly marriage insight to multitudes all over the world for years. And while we know many of you appreciate the print version of an email, we thought there would also be others who would appreciate being able to listen to an audio version. So this is our first podcast of the Weekly Marriage Insight. We hope that you'll be blessed through what Cindy and I have to share.
Now, we title this Marriage Insight, 1, 2, 3 Marriage Tips, and that's because together they add up to make a difference in marriages, if we take them seriously. So these are three marriage tips that we both value as sound marriage advice. But we also need to follow through in how we live them out in our marriages, or else they're useless. It doesn't make any difference to have good advice if you don't follow through with it. So this first marriage tip comes from Mike Mason from his book, The Mystery of Marriage. He says, and we agree, that a marriage is not a joining of two worlds, but an abandoning of two worlds in order that a new one can be formed. In this sense, the call to be married bears comparison to Jesus' advice to the rich young man to sell all his possessions and to follow him. It's a vocation of total abandonment, which is something we need to do in marriages. Now, he goes on to say, for most people, in fact, marriage is the single most wholehearted step that they'll ever take toward the fulfillment of Jesus' command to love one's neighbor as oneself. You know, I never thought of it in this way. Honestly, I thought when I became Steve's wife that we would just join our lifestyles together. There was never really any thought of abandoning anything. Perhaps my former address or my last name, but nothing else. But I've since learned differently. You know, when you've been married 47 years, you do learn a few things along the way if you intend to learn them. So in order for our marriages to be a good one, I need to continually change a lot of my approaches to life. I've learned that just because I feel a certain way about something doesn't mean that I should follow through with it with my words and my actions. It may not be good for our marriage. It may have been fine when we were single, but for marriage, it's not good. So I have to be careful. Just because I feel it doesn't mean it has to come out in my words or in my actions. We too often forget that our spouse is our closest neighbor. Sadly, many of us are politer and more considerate in dealing with our friends than we are to our spouse, and it should not be so. It's as if we think that our marriage license gives us permission to say and do what feels right in our eyes, but that reasoning is just not biblical. It also doesn't help us to grow a loving and healthy marriage. In reality, if we take Jesus' words seriously, to love our neighbor as oneself, then we'll show it by our words and by our actions. We'll join each other's world, and we'll abandon our selfism in exchange for partnering in marriage. Essentially, we promise in our vows to abandon two single-minded worlds, and then we are to join and cleave together in a marriage of love and partnership. That's God's formula for growing a marriage in a way that He would consider to be good.
Now, the second marriage tip is one that I chose from Winter and Jonathan Pitts and their book, Emptied, Experiencing the Fullness of a Poured Out Marriage. Here's what Jonathan and Winter say. Ask the most seasoned married couples if they've arrived. The most mature and most godly will say, we never arrive. Now, this may sound like a minor point, but we promise you it's major. Think about it. If you have the mindset that you're supposed to arrive in marriage, what happens when you never do? What happens if you experience more bumps in the road? And what if you encounter more detours than you were prepared to face? But on the other hand, they go on to say, if you have the mindset that your marriage is a journey that will be full of bumps, detours, and many dangerous turns, how will that change your perspective when the tough times come and disappointment sets in? I could easily relate to this because in the earlier years of our marriage, I wasted a lot of time waiting for us to arrive. If you asked me to arrive at what, I couldn't have told you. Maybe it was marital bliss, you know, where there was no more arguing over the same stupid stuff. Or maybe it was just walking hand in hand into the rainbow. That's idealistic, I know, but that's the mindset that I possessed. However, fortunately, there came a day, and I can't even tell you specifically when, that God opened my eyes. eyes. He showed me that if I ever wanted anything in my marriage to even come remotely close to bliss, it was going to require the type of hard work the Pitts shared. So I became a student of Cindy and of marriage. I made it my mission to understand what she needed from me, her husband. It wasn't and hasn't always been easy, but the payoff from making and living out this decision revolutionized our marriage. And I dare say that this is what is required from all of us as spouses. We need to be students of marriage and our spouse to grow a good marriage. Now, here's the last of the three marriage tips, and this one comes from April Modell from the Crosswalk blog, The Power of Words in Your Marriage. April says, in our marriages, we don't have control over our spouse's shortcomings. It doesn't matter how much nagging or cajoling we might invest, but we do have control over what we focus on. If you want to make a significant improvement in your marriage, stop trying to help God change your spouse's shortcomings that are driving you crazy. But I admit that I had a number of traits and behaviors that needed to be changed. Believe me, Cindy gave it her best effort to try and get me to make those changes, but like a lot of husbands, I didn't respond well to her efforts. I resisted many of her efforts for a lot of years. And then one day, God revealed to her the duck principle. He wanted her to pray for me and then just duck. She was to get out of the way and let him work on me, and that's what she did. That was difficult, no doubt, for her, but she put her focus on my good qualities, and as a result, God worked on me on what I needed to change. And all we can say is that this formula works.
This formula does work, but it doesn't mean that we no longer have a voice, that we can't tell our spouse that we need this or we need that. Absolutely to the contrary. There are times when we should say something, but we need to be careful and we need to be prayerful in how we use our voice. If our spouse isn't responding in a healthy way, then it's best to look to the Lord to tell us if and when we are to say more, because sometimes He tells us to be quiet and sometimes He tells us to say things. We just have to be more alert as to how God would do it. What would Jesus do in this type of situation? If He tells us to be quiet or to wait, then let God do the talking instead of us. There are times when it's as if God told me, I don't have to be the one to say it to Steve in order for Steve to finally get it. God is perfectly capable of talking without me. And what I found is he usually won't talk in a way or in the timing that we may want. His timing and his ways are different than ours. But really, when it comes down to it, it will be the wisest way if we really do listen to him. Now, the difficult bonus in all of this is that when we release it to God, we'll grow in character and perseverance. And there's not too many of us that will stand in line and go, I want perseverance, because it's not going to be an easy thing, but it is something that God wants to develop in us. And then lastly, beyond those three marriage tips, here's a bonus quote, and it kind of sums up all three of those marriage tips. Now remember, with the first marriage tip, pointed out that marriage is not a joining of two worlds, but an abandoning of two separate worlds to form a new one. That new one is one where you work in partnership. The second tip points out that we will never arrive in marriage. It's a journey. It's full of bumps and dangerous turns, but it can be a great one if we invest our full selves into it, looking at each other saying, you know, we're going to make it. We're going to find a way to get through this. And the third tip is that marriage isn't about controlling each other's shortcomings or about looking for the good, but instead focusing on what we can do to help each other with God's leading as we need Him to do that for us. So here's our bonus tip, and it's something from Gary Kinneman, and we totally agree with this. He said, marriage was never meant to bend to our individual purposes. That's a shabby counterfeit of the real thing, which is the God-given opportunity to live out love and commitment to another human being for a lifetime. When we weigh the options, we can trade the pursuit of short-lived personal happiness for the contentment that grows when we shape our relationship God's way.
And God's way is always the best way. He invented marriage and knows how to direct us to live within it in a way that is well-pleasing. It's up to us to do as He directs, because if we do, our reward is great. We're Steve and Cindy Wright, and that's this week's Marriage Insight. If you want to find more help and encouragement to reveal and reflect the heart of Christ in your marriage, just go to our website, marriagemissions.com, and join us again next week for another Marriage Insight podcast.